Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. The letter to the Hebrews on chapter 10. My subject tonight is a combination, or the title of my subject is a combination of two verses. I mentioned Hebrews chapter 10, but I want you first to really scroll down to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. Just an expression there, and then we go back to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28. So, Hebrews 11, verse 13, just one expression there, as I said. These all died in faith. So, that's the expression. To die in the faith. But go back now to Hebrews 10, verse 28. The second expression is found in that verse. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy. So, a combination of two verses to find the title of our time together tonight, to die in faith or to die without mercy. There is no other alternative. There is no other option. You live in the faith, you die in the faith. You live without the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then when death comes, when the judgment of God is appearing and coming, you will die without the mercy of God. Oh, just to mention to die without the mercy of God should make you to shiver, to think about eternity, to think about the state and the status and the condition of your soul and my soul tonight. My dear friends, let me read again this verse in Hebrews 10, verse 28, because I believe in these verses, they have troubled many Christians. But my dear friends, if you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, these verses are not about you. These verses are not about a believer who have repented and trusted in the blood of the Savior, the Redeemer. Look at the verse, verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and had counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. We will come to that verse. It will really be the heart of our thinking tonight. But first of all, may I give some words of introduction. I believe this is one of the most solemn warnings you find in the Word of God. This is one of the most stunning and strong, fearful exhortations which you find in the Word of God. But if this could appease your heart, it comes with great sympathy. It comes with great compassion. So you don't have to die without mercy. You don't have to live even without mercy. You can be reconciled with the living God. You can find salvation. You can find the forgiveness of sins. My dear friends, what will happen to a man or a woman who consistently, persistently reject the gospel of redeeming grace? May I ask you tonight, what do you think God will do with you? You hear the gospel, you hear about the love of God, but you say, this is nothing. It has nothing to do with me. What would God do to you? Look at verse 26. It says there, if we sin willfully. What does it mean to sin willfully? What is that sin? And that sin, I believe, is explained to us in verse 29. As I said, I will come to it in a moment. If we sin willfully, the sin is exposed and explained to us. And there you can see that you will face a fiery indignation and you will face a fearful judgment. In verse 26, we are given that. And there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. No more sacrifice. Nothing else can save you. Nothing else can save me if I reject the only Savior which came from heaven to earth to die on the cross of Calvary. My dear friends, there are few contrasts I want to point to you before we dive really into the verse. You know, if the contrast here in the text is between Moses and Christ. between the Old Testament and the New Testament. But I'm not speaking about the difference, just the contrast, because the same God in the Old Testament is the same God in the New Testament. You don't have two gods. You don't have grace or law in the Old Testament and grace in the New Testament. Grace and law has always walked together, even right from the Garden of Eden. Adam, you cannot save yourself. You need the grace of God. So we are not speaking about a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, because there is only one God, and he's the one who has inspired both testaments. But the contrast, I mean, there is a contrast between Moses and Christ. The contrast is related to salvation, but it is also related to judgment. You know, well, that's why we read Numbers chapter 15. In the Old Testament, when a sinner violates the law of God, when the offender is found, here he is, he's proud, high-haughty, he-headed and hot-headed. He thinks the whole world turned just around himself. He sins against the law of God. You know what happens? He's stoned publicly. That's one way, but it can happen that he is also taken out of the city, out of the camp, and he's been killed there. You see, without any mercy, no second chance is given to that person, because he has violated the law of Moses, which is actually the law of God. But you see, it is one thing, my dear friends, it is one thing to despise Moses, the man Moses, but it is another thing altogether for you and me to revolt, to rebel against God. You know, when we speak about God, you don't have to turn to the verse, but in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says that, "Fear not men. Men can only kill the body. They can only harm your flesh, your body. But fear God, who is able not only to kill the body, but he is able to kill the soul also, and to throw the soul in the lake of fire." So that's the one you need to fear in your daily work. Fear no man. If there is somebody to fear, it must be God. What would God do to you, my friend, if you have to stand before him tonight? You know what the Bible says? God is not mocked. What a man sow, he shall reap. So, if you allow me tonight to put before you, here is the three witnesses that will stand before you. I speak to you directly. If you are somebody who have never sought and found the Lord Jesus Christ, here are the three witnesses that will stand against you. If you prefer, a threefold indictment that will stand, will witness against you the day you shall stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. It says there, "We must all appear before the white throne, before the tribunal, before the court of the Lord Jesus Christ to be judged." Nobody, no exception, no one will be exempt. No one will be immune from that judgment. So tonight, here are the three witnesses, because as it is said in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, it is required to have two or three witnesses for anything to be proved, for any testimony to go against a person. They are all here given to us in verse 29. My dear friends, I hope I don't need to even explain them, because they are so plain and crystal clear. They are so easy and simple to understand. Is this you tonight? These three witnesses are speaking about you. Oh, I pray that you will ponder. You will do some soul searching, some heart searching, and to ask yourself, where do I stand? If I die tonight, God forbid, I don't wish you that, but it's not, I don't want to be anything to do with raving or ranting of anything, but to make you to think about the purpose of life. Where is your soul? Where do you stand? What is the spiritual state of your case tonight? That's the point. Look at the first one in verse 29. Oh, I hope this will make you to think, is this you? And the first thing the verse says there, that you have trodden underfoot the Son of God. You have trodden underfoot. Remember the question we have asked? What will happen to a man or a woman who persists in rejecting the gospel? By rejecting the gospel, the trio of witnesses, the first one, you have trodden underfoot the Son of God. I love that expression. You know, it doesn't say Jesus Christ. The text doesn't say you have trodden underfoot Jesus Christ. That will do it. It is a good title. He doesn't say you have trodden underfoot the Messiah. Oh, that will do it also. You have trodden underfoot God. That could have even be better, but he doesn't say that. Why, you know, he's writing to the Hebrews, he's writing to the Jews, and you have to understand, but for the Jews to understand, or the expression Son of God is equal to the person of God. That's very important. So this is what you and me are doing daily. My dear friend, wake up. Wake up from the slumber and the sleep. Because you are in great danger. Why? Because every day we trod underfoot the Ten Commandments, the moral law of God, the nature of God, the person of God, the dignity of God. And it is a great absurdity when a man like you and me, created by the living God, and here we are, we say no with utter contempt and great disdain. We say no, I don't want to believe in this God. Because you know, when you have trodden underfoot the Son of God, this is the crime of His Majesty. You understand what you are doing? Oh, may I give you some examples? You know, even our modern world, or so-called modern world, with all in so many countries where you find democracy, you know, when you apostatize, let's say you leave one religion to another religion, in some countries you will be beheaded. There is a fatwa over you, and when you blaspheme, especially when you insult God, in some countries, yes, we know in the West many constitutions and the penal code of the legal part of many countries, they do not take into account the crime of blasphemy. But I can tell you, in some countries, everyone, a person who insults the king, or who insults God, or who blasphemes against God, even by making a simple joke against God, oh, you are in danger of being under a death penalty, because you have trodden underfoot the name of God. We are doing this daily. You know, recently I read, the king of in Thailand. I'm not telling you anything new. He's almost a god. He's very rich. He doesn't use his riches, of course. It's not a political comment. He doesn't use his riches for the nation, but for himself. But I read that if you insult the king, you will be sentenced 15 years of prison. This is today. It is happening today, not even mentioning countries where there is Sharia law and others, where you are in great fear and threatened if you say anything contrary to the beliefs of that nation. Oh, my dear friends, will you insult the surgeon? Let's say you are taken into the hospital. Here is the doctor who is going to do a heart surgery or operation on you, and you are insulting that doctor. Here is you are seeking for a job, an employment, and you go for the interview, and you are insulting your interviewer. Will you have that employment? Here is a teacher who is going to mark your assignment, and you are being rude to him. But this is what we are doing every day about God. We take his name in vain. We joke about his name. We swear the name of Jesus Christ. We scoff his name. My dear friends, do you remember? This is the God who holds your life and my life in his hand. Remember that doctor. He is going to do a surgery over you, and you are insulting him, while by caring for you, he may prolongate your life, but you are insulting him. This is what we are doing with God. My dear friends, the text says, you have trodden underfoot the Son of God. But who is the Son of God? This is the eternal Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, God, the Son, who is equal to the Father. You know, people, I know some people are foolish. They say, oh, we just believe in God. We do not believe in Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Bible says in the Gospels, he who hates the Son hates the Father. And that's why in 1 John chapter 5, verse 10 and 11, it says, he who has the Son has life, and he who doesn't have the Son of God has no life. You see, there is no alternative again. There is no option for you and me. We must trust in the Son of God. This is the Son of God, equal to the Father in nature, in power, in essence. Oh, this is the God who made this universe. This is the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world. And you know what we did with him? This is the perfect man coming into this world. We crucified him on the cross of Calvary. But guess what? On the third day, we read in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, on the third day, according to the scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. But guess what? You say, and I say, in my ignorance and pride and in my arrogance, I say, no, 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 I don't want this. I take it in disdain, as these things has never happened. But my dear friends, when you are doing that, you know what you are doing? It is as if you are saying, I know better. I know better. The precious stone has become to you the stumbling stone. Oh, if only I could urge you tonight, sell out everything. Give away everything in order to possess, you know how the Bible calls it? The pearl of greatest price. A man is willing to sell everything to possess that pearl of greatest price. But you say, and I say, no, I will trample underfoot that pearl as if it was nothing to me. That's the meaning of trodden underfoot the Son of God. Because Christ is the one, the Son of God, who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And my dear friends, there he paid the price. He suffered God's judgment in your stead and in my stead, if you believe in him. And he laid down his life. He laid down his life. He gave his life. He didn't keep his life. It is a demonstration of love. You know what is love? Love is to give. And God did it through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friends, that's the first witness against you tonight if you do not trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at the second one. As I said, they are so simple and they are so straightforward. The second one, it says in verse 29, you have counted the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing. Disgusting. That's the meaning of the word. Disgusting. This is nothing. I don't want to do anything with it. That's why you think if you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it says the blood of the covenant. The covenant here, it means that covenant which has happened in eternity past between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When the Father said, we are going to create this world, but we know man is going to sin. What shall we do? We are putting it in human terms and in human words. And the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Godhead said, Father, I will go and I will die. And the Holy Spirit said, if you go, I will be with you and I will work in many, many souls. That's why when you read John chapter 17, you know how John chapter 17 is called? The high priest prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there you find that every Christian, Even tonight, you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is as if you are a present by God the Father and the Holy Spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's amazing, my dear friends. The covenant which happened before, not between God and us, but between the Godhead, the blood of the covenant. You know, in Acts chapter 10, God sent food, a carpet, a table with food to Peter. And as a Jew, he said, no, I don't eat this. Because he classified diets and dietary foods into pure and impure. And he said, no, I'm not going to eat this. But God said to him, you should not declare that is holy to be unholy. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it about? May I encourage you, Bible readers, Bible believers, non-believers, you want to understand everything about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Read the letter to the Hebrews, because I believe the book end of this letter, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 4, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 20, it gives you the book end of the letter, and it's all about the purging and the blood of the covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ to redeem our human race. Oh, my dear friends, you know, the writer tells us so much about the blood. I know in our society today, we are a bit sensitive. We don't want to see blood. But you know, the Bible says without the blood, there is no remission of sin. Hebrews 9 verse 22, it is mentioned there. And so many times, you know how Peter calls the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18, the precious blood, the priceless blood, the honorable blood, no way to obtain it by anyone. But if tonight you do not trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what you are saying? This is like any other blood. You know, in Acts chapter 20, if you want to read it for yourself later, Acts chapter 20, verse 28 and 29, the blood of Christ is called the blood of God. So we are not speaking to you about blood of animals tonight. We are not speaking to you about even the blood of just a mere man. This is the blood of God. This is the blood of a perfect man. Please, later you read again Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 and 26. It says that this is the blood of the spotless one, the blameless one, the one who is able to save to the uttermost, the one who lives above the heavens. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. But you say, this blood is nothing. This blood is nothing. And you say to yourself, this is like any other blood. But my dear friends, you know, heaven, the walls of heaven are thick and they are elevated that you cannot climb to enter by your own merits. It's just impossible. That's why we read in the Bible. I wish I have the time to read you those verses so that you understand. This is not the words of a man. This is the word of God. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sins, 1 John 1, 7. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the sanctifying blood. Even here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, it says that we are sanctified by his blood. It says that we receive redemption, the redemption through his blood that was shed at the cross of Calvary. Oh, you know, all God's promises are given to us through the precious blood. The blood of Christ is the guarantor of every promise made to sinners by the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know also what the Bible says, that the blood in Exodus chapter 12, you remember the people of God, Israel, the nation of Israel was to leave Egypt. And the night before they had to leave, God said to take a lamb and to put the blood of that lamb on the doors of their houses before they leave. And you remember what God said in that passage of Exodus chapter 12. When I see the blood,
When I see the blood, that's why the ceremony or the escaping on that occasion is called the Passover. God will pass over your sins if you trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. And just last, one last aspect of it, you remember how the Lord Jesus Christ, the night before he was to be crucified on the cross of Calvary, he gathered his disciples. And you remember what he said to them, "This is my body that is broken for you. This is my blood that is shed for you." The blood of the new covenant. Take it, eat it, drink it, because salvation is in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friends, first of all, the first witness, a child can understand this. Do you trod underfoot the Son of God, which means you trod underfoot God himself? And the second, have you counted the blood of Christ, the blood of the covenant, and you say, "This is nothing, I know better. I have better ways, my merits. I want to earn heaven by my good works. I have good behavior. Look at me. I'm a gentleman. I'm nice to my neighbor." But all these things cannot save you. Think about it. No other blood will do. Only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me come to the third one. It is very simple also. The third one in verse 29. And it says there, "And you have done despite unto the Spirit of grace." The Spirit of grace. Oh, what does it remind you and me? My dear friends, all religions of this world are religions where salvation is by good works. But the Bible, the religion of the Bible, through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation is by grace. And God has expressed his love, but also his judgment towards our world by sending his Son, who shed his blood on that cross. The Spirit of grace. You see how it is beautiful. He could have said the Holy Spirit, and that will do it. But who is the Spirit of grace? That's the Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. My dear friends, you know, we are not monotheists like the Jews and Muslims. We are Trinitarian. One God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And actually, verse 29 here is a triune verse. The Father is here. The Holy Spirit is here. The Lord Jesus Christ is here. No one is missing. That's why in rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, you are rejecting the whole Godhead. So then what hope will there be for you and me if we reject the only person who could give us life and happiness? The Spirit of grace. You know what the Holy Spirit does? The Holy Spirit, according to John chapter 8, he convicts you. He convinces you. He convicts you of sin. I'm a sinner. That's what the Holy Spirit tells me. Oh, if I was left without the Holy Spirit, you know what I think? I'm a good person. Please don't tell me I'm a sinner. But the Holy Spirit tells me I'm depraved. I'm doomed and condemned. My heart is wicked. I need a new heart. I need new nature. I need to be adopted in the family of God. I need the forgiveness of my sins. I need to have God as my Father. All these things can be only understood when the Holy Spirit makes that work in your life. He convicts you. He speaks to you. He prompts your heart. And he applies the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. But you see tonight, if you are not a Christian, you are not a believer, you are saying, "No, I know better. I know better." The Holy Spirit does great work. You know, he reveals to our spirit, he bears to our spirit. If you come to him now, tonight, the Holy Spirit will bear to your spirit that you are a child of God. And the Holy Spirit, we read it in John chapter 14, in John chapter 16, the Holy Spirit will bear witness to the truth. He will never guide you in a false way. We live in a world of lies, and people are believing so many lies. But the Holy Spirit will guide you in the truth.
The Holy Spirit will prompt you and bring that greater. You know, there is a great confession and profession you will come to. May I tell you that confession? You will be able to say, Abba, Father. Now you can pray to the living God and your prayers will be heard on high. The Holy Spirit, somebody who has the Holy Spirit will never take the name of God in vain. He will never be swearing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody who has the Spirit of Christ will never be saying Jesus is accursed. Oh, my dear friends, if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, a sinner will only bring upon himself a sorrow judgment. A sorrow judgment. May I read it to you again in that verse 27. Look at verse 27. Hebrews 10. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation will shall devour the adversaries. You will be devoured by God, by fire, and stand in his judgment to be rejected and to be thrown in the lake of fire. Please allow me to close. Is this you tonight? You know what happened with me? I was guilty of all these three witnesses. I was guilty of each one of them. And I believe we all have the same propensity tonight. I believe we are all sinners. And we have all the. That's why when somebody says, I have always been a Christian, it is an insult to God. It is an insult. You have not always been a Christian. There must be a day when you repented and believed and trusted on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the day you became a Christian. Nobody is born a Christian. But my dear friends, you know about me, and I'm sure about every one of us, I despised the Son of God. I despised him. I didn't believe that he's the Son of God. It was a blasphemy in my former religion to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's a blasphemy. And the second, I made no meaning of the blood of Christ. What does it mean? No, I thought I will merit salvation by the blood of sheep and goats and animals. That will spare me from standing and I will receive the forgiveness of my sin. But thirdly, we have all sinned. Each one of guilty of all these sins, the three witnesses will stand against you and me if we don't trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the third one, I have despised the Spirit of grace looking for absolution by good works. My dear friends, let me close. Look at verse 30. Verse 30, I wish I can detain you more, but verse 30 says, in verse 30, for we know him. You see, God is knowable. God is knowable. That's good news. You can know God tonight. You can relate to God. You can have fellowship with him. And look at verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. My dear friends, God cannot love if he doesn't judge. That's very important. Never think just God is love, love. A God who cannot judge is not a loving God. That's why there will be a day of reckoning. There will be a day of judgment in this world. And verse 31, may I plead with you, fall tonight in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be spared. You will be saved. You will be acquitted. The judgment of God came during the flood. Only 8 people were saved. The judgment of God came upon Sodom and Gomorrah. The judgment of God came upon the Medo-Persian Empire. The judgment of God came upon the Roman Empire. The judgment of God came upon the Greek Empire. Where are they today? All gone. And the next judgment that is to come, and I believe it will be soon, everything will be melted like by fire. Everything will be away. But if you trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood on the cross of Calvary tonight, my dear friend, you will stand before God with a new heart,
with God as your Father, and there will be no more condemnation. Faith, what is faith? Faith is to take Christ at his word and at his work. Faith will preserve your soul. Are you guilty of one of those three witnesses? Read them again. To live and to die in faith, or to live and to die without mercy. Come to Christ. Repent from all your sins. Believe in him. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we trust that thy word will not go back to the void. O Lord, visit us, bless thy word, save sinners, deal tenderly with us, and make us to see thy grace even in dealing with so many sinners coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and ask these mercies in his name and for his sake. Amen. Let's close our time together.